This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Amen. You know, I'm going to give you guys some insider information today. This is stuff that, normally, we don't talk about in the congregation. Only pastors talk about this. I'm going to talk to you about a burning question. Probably you've been thinking about it this week. And the question is, why is it that Easter Sunday is the most heavily attended Sunday of the year in all churches all across America? Isn't that a burning question? I think you've been thinking about it. And there are two reasons. Now, of course, all of you can think of the first reason why that's true. First reason it's true is because, everybody invites guests, and those guests come, and they're not usually there, but they are there on that day. Yes, that's true. But can you give me the second reason why Easter Sunday is always the most heavily attended Sunday? I'll tell you. It's because all the people who are already a part of the church all decide to attend on that Sunday. Because I don't know if you realize this, there are people who attend church once a month. And the once a month people attend on Easter. And the people who attend twice a month all say, it's Easter, got to go to church. The people who attend three times a month, they come to Easter. Now, interestingly, this is also the reason why the week after Easter is one of the lowest attended weeks of the year. Because the guy who comes once a month goes, man, I've already been to church already this month. The guy who comes twice a month going, man, I was just there. I don't need church again. Three times a week, three times a month, doing the same thing. Now, some of you are going, Art, what are you talking about this for? Well, I want to let you know. You see, all across America this weekend, millions of Americans will go to church. Some of them who will attend will give it very little thought, and they will receive very little benefit from it. And as a result, they will think, okay, church is okay, but, it's just one of the things I do, and, it's not doesn't have to be something that I really make a priority. And guess what? That decision will impact their lives in a tremendously negative way. I mean, you're kicking yourself because you didn't invest in Microsoft in 1985. But believe me, that decision, backing off from church, will make a far bigger impact in your life than any other investment that you make. Now, it's understandable why some Christians hadn't got the flick on this thing. You know why? Because involvement in a local church only happens when someone answers the questions for themselves. Why? Why do church? Why am I coming here? Why am I doing this weekly? And the answer to that question, man, is so relevant, it's so important, that if you really answer it, you think, man, I got to be involved in God's gathering of God's people. I've got to make that happen. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, as a matter of fact, hey, why am I a part of the church family at Lighthouse? If someone were to ask you that question, what would you tell them? And my job this weekend is to help you answer that question. This weekend, we are going to remember why we do church. Now, we know that Jesus thought a lot of the church. Because you remember he said to Peter, in fact, you find it, I have it in your outline there, Matthew 16. Now I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So Jesus said, we're about ready to start the church here, Peter, and you're going to be an integral part of that. And even though Satan will try to divert God's people, he'll try to harm the church, he'll try to sow seeds of disunity. Even though Satan is going to be working overtime to make the church weak, I will continue to build my church. Jesus felt so strongly about the church, he thought the church was so important, that he said, man, Satan would not be allowed to conquer the purposes that I have for the church. So why then did God design the church? Why is it so important? Why should Jesus say the gates of hell will not prevail against my church? Why would he do that? Well, see, God designed the church around five purposes. And when God's kids are involved in those purposes, and they're involved in the church of God, these purposes then are lived out in their lives. And that's the reason that it's so important to have an active part in the family of God, the church. And I think it's just good for us Christians to remember every so often, what are we here for again? That's what we're going to be doing this morning. You know the first reason, the first purpose that we need to talk about today, the first purpose that God has for the church is just this. The church helps believers worship God. See, the first purpose of the church is to bring God's people together for worship. Now, by the way, that's the number one priority of the church because it's the number one priority of our lives. You remember that in Matthew 22, Jesus said this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So to love God is the greatest commandment. Why? Because we were created to express love to God. As a matter of fact, that's not a bad definition of worship. In fact, that's what I have in your outline. Simple definition of worship: expressing love to God. You've got to know something about worship. There are a couple principles that I think are important about worship. This is not everything about worship, but it's two things that are important. First of all, you should know that worship is meant to be continual. And what I mean by that is this, that everything you do with the motive of expressing love to God is an act of worship. And in fact, Psalm 105, I mean, how else could you do Psalm 105? What does it say? Worship God continually. Well, that doesn't mean that you're here 24/7 in this sanctuary, singing songs or doing whatever you need to do. It can't mean that. Instead, here's the cool thing. I want you to remember this week. Every activity can be transformed into an act of worship when you do it with the motive of expressing love and praise to God. That's the exciting thing. That's the motive that should drive how you treat your wife or your husband, how and why you serve your church, why and how you witness to coworkers. It's not out of duty. It's out of love for God. And when I'm expressing that love to God in that act, wow, my life is an act of worship. That's one of the reasons. Remember in Luke 21, where Jesus saw this widow giving a little penny, half penny into the worship box, and she was doing it out of love for God. That's the reason he recognized her. He said, "Look at that! Look at that act of worship, as she expresses love to God in that beautiful way." And in fact, Romans 12, this is the whole idea behind Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look what it says. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Meaning, of course, all the time, live life to please God. That's worship. And so you see, this first whole issue about worship is continual. So yes, we can worship God out there, no doubt about it. But here's the problem. Sometimes we say, well, since everything is worship, man, I guess, you know, it doesn't really matter whether I'm in church. I mean, I can worship God on the ski slopes this winter on Sundays. That'd be great. I just, thank you, Lord. You know, that was so good, you know. I mean, or we say, hey, I can worship God, you know, watching reruns of Office. You know, it could be anything. So the problem is that attitude ignores a second principle of worship. You see, worship is to be continual, but it's also got to be intentional. So over and over and over again, the Bible says, here's how you worship, here's when you worship, here's where you worship. I mean, over and over again, there's specifics attached. And so the psalmist says something very simple, like, I will sing praise. I will give thanks. It's intentional. It's meant to be. And so having a time to come together and place a priority on expressing love to God is very important. So you and I need to do worship on purpose. And that's one of the main reasons that the weekly worship service is convened. You know, there's power in coming together as a church. We're expressing love to God. We're making time. We're saying, you're number one here, God. And so the worship then becomes very intentional. And of course, you've got to know, much of the book of Psalms is all about worshiping God together. In fact, Psalm 34, I have listed, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name, what? Together. Over and over again. And in fact, in the New Testament, you see in the earliest days of the church, God's people met together for worship. So, friends, God asks us to love him, to express love to him. And in fact, you know, when he gave the Ten Commandments, it's almost as if he's saying, by the way, every seventh day, refocus. Every seventh day, I want you to refocus. In other words, make worship intentional. Refocus on God. Now, friends, isn't it true that we need to refocus every 7 days? Isn't it true? Because what happens in our lives? It is so easy to be self-centered. It is so easy to think the world revolves around me and that my needs are most important, and everything should evaluate everything just on how it was for me. And you see this even in the smallest things. You know, you're in traffic. What happens when somebody cuts you off in traffic? You that jerk! What are you trying to do? You know, there's more than you on the road. You're thinking about, you know, how it is for you. But then what happens when you cut somebody off? And he's giving some rude gesture to you. You go, hey, dude, I got places to go here. I mean, you know, it's all about me. It's all about, you know, I'm self-centered. So we come together, we're refocusing on the Lord. I'll tell you another reason, another way that this whole issue of self-centeredness comes out even in worship. You know, many times when we get into a worship service, you know what we're thinking? We're evaluating what's happening. And then afterwards, we might even ask the question, well, how was it? Meaning, of course, how did I like it? How was it for me? And of course, the question that we should ask in worship is not how was it, but how was I? Better question. Because we come together, okay, Lord, here we are to refocus. Here we are. Here I am, Lord. I want to center on you. And I want to express my love to you. How am I doing, Lord? And that's the question that should be asked. God knows, you know, it's so true. We lose our focus and concentrate on ourselves. And so he says, meet every seventh day. You know, when I come to a service like this, I have the opportunity to intentionally worship. And I want you to know that, isn't it true that every love relationship benefits from intentional expressions of love? Isn't that true? Think about your wife right now. What if you were to tell her, you know, wife, I'm going to be doing a lot of things for you. I'm going to mow the lawn, and I'm going to bring you coffee once in a while, a lot of things. But from this point on, never expect any verbal expression of love from me. I'm never going to tell you how beautiful you are. I'm never going to tell you how much I love you. How would that go over, do you think? That wouldn't go over too well. And by the way, not only would it not go over well with her, it would be detrimental to the relationship. And so expressions, verbal expressions, even of love to God, are so important. We come to worship, we have an opportunity. You know, just a few moments ago, right over here, we were singing, How Great Is Our God, and then I started saying, Lord, boy, there's so many ways in which you're great. You're great in your purposes. you're great in your creation. You're great. And I just started naming all the ways he was great. And I was saying, Lord, you're so great. And pretty soon, I'm getting goosebumps all over my body. Yeah, God is great. But guess what? It doesn't have anything to do with feelings. Because last night I was here in the same spot doing another kind of, something else struck me. And there was no goosebumps. So it doesn't have anything to do with I'm coming to get some sort of, this thing. It has to do with, wow, my expression of love to God is so important. And it cements, it deepens the relationship. And so praise and thanksgiving are necessary. Remember, praise and thanksgiving, praise is praising God for who he is. Thanksgiving, praising God for what he has done. And whenever you come to a place like this, whenever you're praising God intentionally, just think, praise him for who he is, his goodness, his greatness, anything that you want to praise him for, and then praise him for what he's done in your life. Believe me, every single week you show up in this building, you can look back and say, yes, Lord, thank you for blank. Believe me, you can do it. Now, when you express love to God, this is the last thing on this point. When you express love to God, expect to get something in return. Believe me, you start expressing love to God in a worship setting, you are benefited. You experience the presence of God. That's good. But also, I'll tell you something else that happens. When you draw close to God, you gain perspective on your problems, right? That problem that looks so big now looks smaller. You see life as God sees it. You know, you get perspective. So, friends, why should the church exist? You know, what are we doing here? Why are we here? First thing is, man, we help God's people worship God. It's so important. But that's not the only issue. You know, God has a number of purposes for the church, and we put first things first there with worship. But secondly, and you have this on your outline, the church also gives believers support through life's journey. I think every single one of us know that life is tough. You're either in a problem right now, or you just came out of a major problem, or you're getting ready to go into a major problem. That's kind of the way life is. You know, you might get a year off here and there. You might. I mean, it's possible. But generally, it's a succession of problems. And as a result, what happens? We can, if we don't watch it, we can get tired, we can get fatigued, we can get discouraged. So God never meant for you and me, ever, to go through problems on our own. And he wants every believer to have a church family around them to support them. In fact, look what it says in 1 John 3, 3:16. We know that what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. That sounds a lot like support, doesn't it? If you had to just say, what is that? That sounds a lot like giving support to God's people. The Christian life is never to be a solo act. And in fact, look what it says in Romans 12. Now, this is the New Living Translation, but it's a beautiful translation. Look what it says. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. I love that phrase. And each of us needs all the others. We need each other. In other words, we're mutually dependent on each other. That is, another way of saying is we're interdependent. And in fact, that's the way good relationships are. There's reciprocity. It's reciprocal. There's back and forth. We need each other. And it's not that you're incompetent. You know, I sat around the circle this week with our leadership group, and as I looked at everyone, I thought, wow, they're so smart. Wow, they're so accomplished. Wow, they're so, you know, just fill in the blank. But then I remembered, yeah, but we need each other. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter, you know, how many degrees you have behind your name. Doesn't matter. We are mutually dependent. We're interdependent. And another way of saying that is we need a community. And when I say community, here's what I mean. In fact, I thought it was so important. I wrote it on your outline. It says this: Lighthouse is your church, but your community is the group of people at Lighthouse with whom you're interdependent. And another way of saying that is, man, you know, it's just the people you hang with. You know, I mean, that's your group. That's your community at Lighthouse, the people you hang with. And so what happens is the people that you learn to love, who can pray for you when you're in difficulty, the people who are going to speak encouragement into your life, the people who are going to just wrap their arms around you and help you. You see, God wired you and me for that. He didn't wire us to live life alone. We fulfill most of the purposes right here in this church through community, in this family, in relationship. Now, again, another name, if some of you have been Christians for a long time, you've heard this word fellowship. Well, that's another kind of a religious word for community. It's another word for, you know, having this group that you hang with and you work with and who love you. All of us need that support. You know, my wife, Naomi, her parents, both my parents are with the Lord, but her parents are still with us, and her mother has dementia. And her mother was going on a couple-week trip, and some of you know that sometimes one problem with dementia is, it's called pathological hoarding, you know, where you never throw anything away, and pretty soon your house is filled with stuff, and now you're walking to the house like this. And so Naomi was going to go over there in 2 weeks and clean that house. Guess what happened? About 10 people showed up with her for those 2 weeks at various times from the church. And we had a 40-yard dumpster, filled it completely, 40 yards. It took her 2 weeks to do it, and she could not have done it without God's people. She could not have done it. But just think, that's a metaphor for any time we got to fill a 40-yard dumpster of pain, you know, we need God's people, okay? Anytime we got to, you know, we need it. And so what I'm saying to you is part of the reason you're part of a church is we need that community. You know, my son John had cancer. What happened? People gathered around us. And there's many people right now in our church who are sick. They just need your help. They need what you have to give. And it's not just support through difficulties. It's also being urged on in the faith. You know, if we want to mess up, our friends come around us and say, no, you can't mess up. I'm not going to let you mess up. Okay? It's not going to happen. At Lighthouse, you got to know something. Our primary program for helping people feel connected is not the services. You could come to Lighthouse, these services, next 5 years, and walk away and never feel connected. If you want to develop true community, you're going to have to develop some kind of community, small group. Now, of course, our flagships on that are our home groups. But guess what? Can you be a part of a group of 6 to 10 people without being in a home group? Yes, you can. Some of you are saying, well, you know, I'm not in a home group, but I still have these people. Hey, great. These people who love you, who care for you, who are connected to you, who you call, you interact with, you hang with. Man, if you want to be supported through life's journey, you got to have that. Now, at Lighthouse, man, home groups are pretty important. But in fact, we're going to start home groups on September 20th, and we're going to have a sign-up for home groups, I think, on the 6th and 7th. And some of you are saying, again, I don't have time for a home group. Well, okay. But do you have an informal group? If you have an informal group, that's fine. Maybe you're part of MOPS, or you think, man, when I'm involved with those MOPS ladies, and they're my group right now. That's fine. Doesn't matter. But you need someone. And in fact, let me read you a card I got this week in the mail when I got home, when I got back to church here. It says this, I'm so grateful that through the CR ministry, or the Celebrate Recovery ministry, and my home group, Lighthouse has been both the light to illumine my path and the light to protect me on my journey. The love of Jesus has come through intensely as I've been maturing in an environment of safety. And I thought, wow, that's a great week to get this card, because it's just what we're talking about. God being at work, you need Christian friends. You need people who are connected to you. So why be involved? Why do church? Because, man, first of all, it makes our worship intentional. But number two, it provides for us a circle of people that we have common goals and we work together and we get support with those people. Two great reasons. But there's also a third purpose, a third reason why we should do church. And that third reason is simply this: the church helps believers grow in faith. They grow in their spiritual lives. Look at Paul, the counsel that Paul gave to the Colossian church. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, when I give some talks on Colossians this fall, we're going to really explore that verse. But for now, let's just ask, what is it basically saying? Pretty clear. Receiving Jesus into your life is one thing. And man, it's a good thing. It needs to be done. But learning to be like Jesus, learning to walk like Jesus walked, learning to become more and more like him, that's a whole other thing. That's what this verse is saying. So pretty clear. Every Christian needs to live in union with Jesus and be in the process of becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus. Now, if we were to follow a growing Christian around for a couple months or years, what would we actually film? What would the videotape actually see? What would it be? Well, I think there are a number of things, but there are three things that I want to talk about. And there are three ways, you say, if you have growth in these areas, I can see that you'd be growing. And one of the growth is just growth in Bible knowledge. So according to 2 Timothy, that should be happening. But what I mean by that is we become more and more aware of God's Word, the Bible, and our thinking then would be in the process of being changed. You see, what happens when we submit our minds and hearts to the Word of God, our thinking begins to change. And then when our thinking begins to change, our actions begin to change. So a growing Christian is always a Christian who is gaining more and more Bible knowledge, but not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. Knowledge that's changing your thinking and changing your actions. The other thing, if you had a video camera, what would you see? Well, you'd see growth in Christian character. In other words, the character of Christ, I think, is you can find that in Galatians 5. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all those things. The growing Christian is becoming more and more like Jesus in character. And by the way, do we have classes about that? Yeah, but the primary way you grow in character is be with people. You know, if I want to be patient, I just got to interact with Woody. And Woody will give me opportunity to be patient, you know. If I want to know what love is, then I got to be around people who are hard to love or maybe who have a need and I've got to fulfill it. So this Christian character deal is about submitting to Christ as I am in the midst of people. And again, that's another reason why you need the church. You need all those difficult people, so you can learn how to be self-controlled and all those things. And then so finally, you're going to grow in Christian character. You're going to find peace in any number of things. You're going to become more like Christ. And then finally, what would this videotape capture? It would capture growth in Christian practices. Now that sounds so dry and almost religious. By Christian practices, I just mean things like prayer, learning how to worship, learning how to give, learning how to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, what a Christian, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian 30 years, and you still don't know how to give away your money, that's a problem. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, you don't know how to worship, how to witness, that's a problem. Because, man, if we're going to grow in Christ, these are some of the things that, man, are going to push me forward in the direction that I need to go. So, all of this, in one word, if you said, well, Art, what's the word for this? It's just called discipleship. You know, we're becoming followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. And you'd see these three things. Now, Jesus here was quite clear. Go into all to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. He didn't say, go into all the world and make people comfortable church members. Quite a different thing, isn't it? And that's the reason that we need each other. You see, we urge one another on in that process. What I want you to know is that belonging to a healthy church will help you grow spiritually. Why? Because as you become aware of something in your life that needs to grow, you'll be able to look around and find the biblical resources and the people who will help you grow. So you say, oh man, I don't know how to read the Bible. And so you find a mature Christian who can help you learn how to read the Bible. Or you find a pastor who can say, hey, take this class over here. Or you get a part of a home group where you're learning how to, I think the Bible means this. What do you think? And that group helps you. Or you say, oh man, I'm struggling with this ongoing problem. So you get a part of a group who you can be accountable to, who will help you to figure out what to do with that problem. Or you think, oh, my friend needs Jesus, and I have no idea even how to help them. Well, you take a class or you do something in the church that would help you get prepared. Or you find a group of believers who are good at that, and you say, tell me what to do. Bottom line, you know what we believe? If we can Velcro you to God's word and to God's people, you're going to have the resources you need to grow. And that's the reason the church is so important. You just get Velcroed to God's word and God's people. And how do you sign Velcro? I just want to see that. Velcro. Okay, very good. Okay, just stick. Okay, you stick. Okay, gotcha. Okay, thank you. You Velcro people to God's people and to God's word, you are going to grow. Okay? Now, remember that you tend to become like the people you hang around with. We've all been staying up too late at night watching the Olympics. How many of you stayed up way past what you should some night? Yeah, many of you, yeah. We're all sleep deprived, basically, right now. And so it's a very good, your resistance is low. I want to share some thoughts with you. What do you think those Olympians, where have they been training? Have they found the local junior high team and just said, hey, we want to hang with you and train with you? No. What they have done is said, we're gonna hang with people who can challenge us, who can urge us on, and people who we can train right alongside with. And that's what happens, that's what the church does, man. And in fact, Hebrews says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. You know what that's saying? Grow up. Grow up. And the way you grow up, part of the way you grow up is you get connected to God's people. You get connected to the resources that God of His Word. And because God never, ever meant us to be 98-pound spiritual weaklings. You know, He always meant for us to be growing in process with God and becoming more and more that strong person in Christ. And by the way, it has nothing to do with age. You can have been in Christ for 30 years. You can have said, I'm a Christian for 30 years. And yet, if you've been doing things on your own, if you've never become aware of your own need to grow and then reached out to God's people to help you, man, you can still be immature. And so it all has to do with these two things. If you're really serious about growing in 2008, 2009, this school year, become aware of the way that you currently need to grow in. That's the first thing. Become aware. Just get a little evaluation. Okay, Lord, where do I need to grow? And then connect with the people and the biblical resources at Lighthouse that will help you with that need. 2008-9, I'm not going to just hang around here. That will help you. So I'm not staying the same. And this will mean connection with the home groups. It'll mean connection with other small groups. It might mean connection with the Bible class. Who knows what it will mean? It might mean that you get a mentor. You say, would you just walk with me through life a little bit this year and hold me accountable to this issue? Could be so many things, But you need to do it. So, involvement with God's people is so crucial. But number four, okay, we say, why do church? Why am I involved in this again? Okay, is it just a habit? Why am I involved? Well, number four, the church helps believers find his or her ministry, which again is a part of God's purpose for your life. Because, friends, we weren't put on earth just to take up space, were we? We weren't put on earth just to do our thing. God expects us to give something back. He expects us to make a contribution. And I love that word, make a contribution to the kingdom of God and who you are. And so what happens? He gives us abilities. He gives us talents. He gives us gifts. He gives us backgrounds. He gives us experiences. And all of those things kind of work together so that now we're prepared to do something in the world, in our community, in our church. See, a non-ministering Christian is a contradiction, because believers, we're part of a bigger program here, and God has something for each one of us to do. One day you're going to stand before God, and He's going to say, "Okay, let's see how you did." And it won't be, "Okay, Art Hunt, let's see how you did." Okay, kind of like He's going to trip you up. I think one day God will say, "Come on, son, let's see how you did. Oh, man, that was great. Look what you did there." We'll stand before the Lord, and we'll say, He'll say, "How did you contribute? How did you use the resources I gave you, and how did you invest them? Your time, your money, your treasure, all those things." And so it's our job to discover, what am I good at? What could I do? And some of you are going, "Well, Art, is there a job in the church I can do?" Yeah, but it may not be that. It may be like my friend Bill, who goes out under the bridge every Friday and ministers to the homeless. It may be some other community ministry. It could be any number of things, but it will be something. You'll be able to say, "Oh, yeah, here's what I'm good at, and oh, man, here's how I'm doing with it." And if we can't do that right now, we probably need to say, "Boy, in 08 and 09, I got to figure that out." You probably need to take our seminar 301, which I think Jana will probably offer this year, and it'll be a class. And 301 just is discovering my shape for ministry. Well, if you're totally clueless on this, maybe you're not, but if you are, just take that class, okay? Look what it says in Ephesians 4:11. "It was He who gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up." So what do the leaders of the church do from this passage? Think about it. What do? They prepare. And they prepare God's people for something called works of service. In other words, the part of the church's job, the leadership's job, is to provide the things that will help you find out, what can I do? What does God want from me? And this, of course, relates to this whole issue of worship back again. Remember we said when you do anything out of love for God and an awareness of love for God, it becomes an act of worship. So these two things of service and worship are almost connected, aren't they? So we're helping you to be that kind of person. Do you know that God planned you before you were even born? No doubt about it. He knows your life. And in fact, in Ephesians 2:10, we have this beautiful, and again, in the New Living Translation, it has this beautiful translation. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Wow. We are His masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us to do so long ago. Man, there it is. God, we are God's masterpiece. We were created in Christ Jesus when we gave our lives to Him. And even before the beginning of time, God knew that we would come to know Him, and now He has a whole bunch of stuff for us to do. He has a whole bunch of stuff for us to contribute. You know, our time, our treasure, our possession, everything. Wow, we can do it in God. And if you don't do that, then you'll be missed. Even here at Lighthouse. Man, I could have done that. But there's some people who need you. There's some people who need your ministry. There's some groups that need what you have to bring. And God planned it all. He designed you to do just that. Now, It's interesting to me what people do in their life to build their lives so they can feel good about themselves. And people without the Lord sometimes do all kinds of things to start feeling good about themselves. And they'll build up their self-esteem by some kind of self-help psychology or tapes and books. And these books all say the same thing, many of them. If you don't feel good about yourself, start telling yourself that you're good. I'm great, and people like me. I'm great, and well, as if that's going to help you, okay? Well, number one, you might not be that great, and people might not like you, okay? Okay? But the stuff doesn't help you. Why? Because there are two important elements of self-esteem for the Christian, and one of them is just believing the truth about yourself, not just this beautiful dialogue that you have, that you want to have in your life. Believe the truth. And what's the truth according to Scripture? You're loved and important in Jesus Christ. In union with Christ, you're loved and you're important. Your worth comes from the fact that you're God's creation, that He loves you, and that there's nothing that can separate you from His love. Yeah, that's the first thing that brings self-esteem. And what's the second part? Are you ready? This sounds, you may not have heard this one. You heard the first part. Oh yeah, I'm loved and important in Christ, and that's very important. Yeah, what's the second part of self-esteem? Hey, figure out what God made you to do and then do it. That's the second thing in your life. You go, yeah, man, I'm confident that God is using me. I know that I can touch people's lives. I know that I can make a contribution. I know this is what happens. So people, Christians, man, who kind of know they're loved and important, they still feel a lack if they're not involved. They still feel like, man, they don't feel as confident as they would in Christ unless they're doing something to move ahead in God. So believe the truth, but also get involved. This fall even, look around and say, okay, God, if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, I'll take the class, but I surely have some inkling, and I'm just going to start working, you know, whatever that would be. Now, the purposes of God are so wonderful, and they find their expression in the church. There's one final purpose. The purpose is this. The church works as a team to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Paul told a group of believers in Acts 20, but I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me. I only want to complete my mission and finish the work the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God. So part of your life mission, part of my life mission, is the Great Commission. That is just telling others about the good news of Christ. And someone told us the gospel, we're expected to tell the gospel. Now, I know that many people in our church, in fact, I had someone, a sister, come up last night. She said, yeah, I don't do very well at that. And I want you to know that I'm not bringing the hammer down on you here about this. I am just saying, however, think about this. Someone will not respond to the gospel unless they hear the gospel. So don't think that you're responsible to bring somebody to Christ. You can't save anybody. Just remember, I'm responsible to be a witness for Christ, both in what I say and in what I do. And sometimes that's just identifying with Christ and letting people know that you're a believer. Sometimes it means asking somebody the crucial question. You know, I've asked many people, by the way, have you realized your need for God's forgiveness? You know, not out of the blue, you know, but so many, many times, have you come to a point in your life when you've realized your need for God's forgiveness? And so, yeah, sometimes God does want us to ask that question. But the point is that we are to be witnesses and ambassadors for Christ. So you say, well, how does the church help me do that? You say, Art, this whole issue here is not about witnessing. It's about how the church helps you to witness. Well, here's the deal. There are three ways that you can be helped. First of all, you can get the biblical resources you need, the training you need to witness, to be a good witness. And we do that, we call it Seminar 401, but we also do it in other places as well. If you need help learning what it would mean to be a witness, then find that training, okay? But secondly, here's the other way the church helps. I don't know if you realize this, but we design the church services in such a way that you can bring a friend to the services whom you've been witnessing to, and you can have confidence that this environment will point them to Christ. Does that make sense? So our services are here so you can bring a friend. I'm gonna tell you something. I hate to admit this. In my life, I have been in churches where I thought, you know, this church is fine for me, but I don't think I can invite a friend here. You know, I just thought they wouldn't understand or something like that. Yeah, you know, it's kind of the way I thought, you know. And I want you to know something. And I'm being nice here, okay? But if you couldn't bring a friend to Lighthouse, please go away, okay? And go find a church where you could bring a friend to. Because if you think, oh, man, somebody wouldn't understand, then you're never going to bring a friend to Lighthouse. You're never going to bring, hey, I've been witnessing. I've been loving on this neighbor. And I said, please come with me to the picnic. And now they're going to come or come to me to service. And if you can't with confidence say, man, they're going to do something weird that day. And it's just going to, just the thing is going to dry up. And they'll never come back. If you can't with confidence say that, then probably find a church where you can say that. Because that's the second way in which we help in your witnessing. We have a place where you can know that with confidence, oh yeah, okay, the gospel is going to be preached and it's not going to be weird, except, well, weirder than art usually is. And it's a strangely kind of weirdness that they might relate to. Okay. And then the other thing that we do is, how do we help each other? We urge one another on again to witness. You know, Doug's sitting down here. Doug, every week we have a question on our accountability group. Have you done any witnessing? And boy, when that question gets asked week after week and nobody's thinking about it, it feels uncomfortable. And so one of the things we do is we just urge one another on to be witnesses and all of that would entail. You guys, I want you to know we do so many things out of habit, don't we? Tomorrow morning, you'll get in the car and go to work. 20 minutes later, you'll be at work, and you will not know how you got there. You'll look around, oh, I'm at work. How did I get here? You know what I mean? Why? Because it's a habit. And when you do stuff out of habit, you know, you don't even know what's going on, okay? So don't do church that way. No, oh, here's why I go to church. Here's what God's doing in my life. Here's why this community is a healthy one. And there are many, many good churches in this community. So if you can't ultimately learn to love Lighthouse, well, find another great church. Find a church family and say, this is my place. And now I'm going to be a part here. You know, I don't know a more significant thing to do with my life. I do not know a more significant thing to do with my life than being involved right here at Lighthouse, where I know every minute I invest, every dollar I give, every ministry I serve, it's making a difference for eternity. And you can't say that about most stuff in life. The kingdom of God is going to outlast our career. It's going to outlast our hobbies. It's going to outlast our family. And it's going to outlast the government. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, it's all, you know, it's the thing that's eternal. You know, I mean, the things that we're doing today potentially make a difference 1,000 years from now. That blows my mind, but it's true. So we're talking about moving people into eternity and then helping them grow to prepare for eternity. I mean, how good is that? That's about as good as it gets. And so the church becomes a vital part of that. And if you know something better to invest your life in, man, I think you may be wrong about it. There's nothing that'll have more impact. And that's my reminder this week. It's a very simple reminder. Why do church? Here it is. Because God's purposes are furthered in my life as I am a part, a vital part of God's church. God's purposes are furthered in my life. Wow, that's amazing.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.